wisdom, which means wise words being spoken. Get on the mic and watch the mic start smoking.
Yo, hold on, homie. Ain't that Rock Kim rhyme you wrote?
Nah, that's my. I wrote that.
Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Factions of Freedom. I'm your host, Noisera, Freedom Faction, whichever one you prefer, and I am titled this episode, Sacrificial Shootings, Society's Disposition, and the Elite's Plan, because we're going to be going all over the place trying to explain what's going on. These people, they're crazy and insane. Before we do, make sure you guys are checking out the website, factionsoffreedom.gendo.com. Once you're there, get lost in the content. If you guys want to support us and keep seeing us put out content despite the censorship, think about becoming a Patreon exclusive member. It really helps us get to where we're going. But with that being said, let's get this show started. Salutations and welcome to another edition of Factions of Freedom. Wow, holy crap, you know, you look at what's going on in the news, what's going on, it is crazy. I had a hard time coming up with an episode title because so many different things are happening. It's kind of hard to try to condense it, but at the same time, carry on for what happened last week. You know, it's wild to think about, and again, and I said this even last week, it is wild to think about how much we're actually going through and how much we're becoming desensitized to it at the same time. How they're manufacturing ignorance, how they're making us more forgetful of things. So if anything, to kind of pick up from last week, let's talk about things like school, like police being school resource officers, and how they're training teachers for active shooters. Now this plays into what we'll be talking a whole lot about, the sacrificial shootings, my different term for false flags, you know, because people actually die. And I think it's crazy that they are literally using children to advance a political agenda. This stinks to high heaven, like Sandy Hook and all these other false flags and things that are going on. And the reason why we have to call them just that, false flags, is because of the different red flags, all the different things that popped up. I'll get into Nicholas Cruz, David Hogg, and all these other things beforehand, but I feel like we need to set a foundation for what's going on. Why am I calling them sacrificial shootings? Because they're, like I said, sacrificing people in the altar of politics, politicizing children's deaths. I know that sounds wild, but that's exactly what's going on. So like I said, to tie it into what's been going on in the past, just last week alone, police officers being labeled school resource officers. I think that's ridiculous. We've seen time and time again on how they've just used cops in school to just pick up and brutalize children. You know, how they just power drive them in school, like in chairs. It's crazy, but they're allowed to discipline them. And this is what happens when we give ourselves over to this authoritarian nature that school and society is really becoming. I think if there's anything to try to highlight with this episode, I definitely will be pointing out that particularly, the fact that we are living in a more authoritarian state and that what we think of as normal, and I have to have this, you know, it's kind of like a nervous laughter type of deal. What we think of normal is being drastically reduced. It's not our right to have police carrying AR-15s in school. Is that education? These are the same places that are saying it is now mandatory for you to have your vaccines. Is this a place that you want to send your kids to learn? Is that a conducive environment? You see? And now, like I said, we'll get into all this other stuff later on, you know, with David Hogg. I don't think, clearly he's not the shooter. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the image of him, the persona of him, and what he represents, and how these people basically overnight seem to have amassed an entire movement. And now, at the same time, nobody seems to really get what that truly means. People don't really get what that means. All right, so let's get into some of the stuff. Like I said, police becoming school resource officers, training teachers for active shooters, and things of this nature. Who would have thought that a few years ago you would be having to train your teachers to literally take on some of these kids? Now, if you guys listened to the previous episode, I talked about this before, how what I think is wrong with a lot of this stuff is the mental health aspect. We have a lot of problems going on here in America. Clearly, you know, we're over here talking about them. But at the same time, what we're now looking at is how they're getting them hopped up on things like vaccines, the psychotropic drugs, the psychiatric drugs, the chemicals, the bisphenol A, the gender benders, everything else. And then you tie in the media and everything else that they're seeing. It's really going to drastically alter their point of view. So right here, let's listen to how they are training teachers for active shooters.
Here we have Tabitha's going through the character selection screen. We have different types of characters. Suspect comes with rifles. Suspects can be adults or children.
It's like a million other video games you've seen, but this one is no game. It's meant to simulate what happens when a gunman enters a school.
The suspect's going to go in and start creating some chaos. The teacher will show you how the teacher can respond to that with the students by taking different actions, lining them up against the wall.
It is difficult to watch, but the programmers say this simulation can save lives.
A lot of these features allow teachers to test out things that have been tried. For example, Virginia Tech, they found that barricading the doors worked very well. So this gives different school districts the ability to try out different things, see what works for their given environment.
The goal is to give teachers, administrators, maybe even police the opportunity to...
So right here we have
to educate themselves.
The character select.
I'm sure. So I put this up January 9th. This is how far back these people were planning to, you know, actually start beginning the process of training teachers to combat students. And if you've heard me talk about how, as well with the vaccines in California, they actually have some police officers that walk around with school officials asking people whether or not they have children. My point is this: this authoritarian state that we're moving into, it's either obey or get out of the way. I feel like they're trying to figure out a way for us to kill each other, with schools becoming, with people having more access, to more information and learning different things about the world and seeing the different types of injustices, they're going to rise up. But at the same time, what we don't see is how radicalized people are becoming in school and what education is becoming. I talk about this all the time. The fact that they are literally trying to, what I consider, legalize lunacy or make insanity normal, mainstream it. It's crazy. I mean, what's going on with education? I've ranted about that time and time again. What's happening with things like Common Core? What happens whenever you have a mass of people who cannot effectively express themselves, who cannot productively combat the system? They're going to lash out. Now, we're not talking about, you know, Nicholas Cruz being MK Ultra and things like this, except we'll get into that later on. What I am talking about is how they're going to allow for these people to be radicalized and usher in the police state. I've talked again, time and time again, about how I feel like Trump is very, very comfortable with authoritarian nature, with a law enforcement, with military, and everything like that. Allowing Floridian police to deputies to carry rifles on school grounds is crazy. You got to think about that. That's where we're at now. As I said before at the start of the show, the fact that they are politicizing children's deaths sounds insane to me. Let's take a listen.
This morning, I implemented a practice within the Broward Sheriff's Office and spoke to Mr. Runcie, who was fully supportive of my decision that our deputies who are qualified and trained will be carrying rifles on school grounds from this point forward. The only place, if they people are asking me, when they're not carrying the rifle, until we look for gun locks and gun lockers, the only place when they're not slinging the rifle that it'll be allowed to be stored is locked in their police vehicle. So it will be done safely. Only deputies who have trained and qualified will carry those rifles. But we need to be able to defeat any threat that comes onto campus.
Now that's crazy. just the reality that we will literally be people in Florida. You will be having rifles on school. You know, I went to high school, and you know they had police officers there, but you know it wasn't like we had you know somebody shooting up the school or anything crazy like that, or stabbing the school or something crazy like that. I think the fact is this is part of a multi-pronged agenda to disarm the public, to and enforce the police state, and to basically domesticate people. This is more than we'll get into, like in the middle part of the show, but I wanted to set the foundation of the cause and reaction of what happens with these types of things. How fast did the media and the talking heads get on this? How fast did we start hearing about the idea of gun control, not really looking at how messed up people are? Just saying, you know what, we need to talk about gun control immediately. It can't be somebody else. You know, it's got to be the guns. This is what happens. We'll talk more about, you know, things like Big Pharma and their war on children. Because all these things are important. All these things are part of how they're using these false flags, these sacrificial shootings, as a way to push for gun control. This is why they took down last week's episode. I mean, we're busting this whole thing wide open every single time, because we're that awake. We can really see what's going on. Right here. Let's take a look at this. This is from Bill Cooper's Behold a Pale Horse from 1991, I think, where he spoke on false flags and domestic attacks, how they're sponsored by the government to disarm the public. Right here, let's read it. This is called it's on chapter 12, The Secret Government, of his book, Behold the Pale White Horse, where he says, the government encouraged the manufacture and importation of military firearms for the criminal to use. This is intended to foster a feeling of insecurity, which would lead the American people to voluntarily disarm themselves by passing laws against firearms, using drugs, and hypnosis on mental patients in a process called Orion. The CIA inculcated the desire in these people to open fire on schoolyards and thus inflame the anti-gun lobby. This plan is well underway, and so far is working perfectly. The middle class is begging the government to do away with the Second Amendment. Think about this. And I put it, if you guys were paying attention to it, the Instagram story this week, I think it was a story from Newsweek, who said people were so angry with the shooting that they voluntarily went to police stations and were like, take my guns. You take my guns from me. Okay. You got to think about that. Things like banning AR-15s, giving away your firearms, and like I keep saying, domesticating yourself. Really, really domesticating yourself. Giving up your power, abdicating yourself from the situation. Choosing to say, you know what? I'm a conscientious objector. I don't want to defend myself. And I've been going on and on and on about this all week because I'm really trying to find the best way to say it. So what happens whenever I roll the dice and I call the cops? I'm black. I'll keep it real. I'm black. There's a 50-50% chance that I may or may not be shot simply because of them showing up to the situation. These cops these days are real trigger happy. I don't really cover a whole lot of the police state and the police brutality and these killer cops and these types of things. But I think that it's important that we really look at that. That we understand the people that we want to actually have power, the people that already have power, are they not abusing it? Why are we not talking about ways to effectively defend ourselves? Are we that disenfranchised from power that we really don't want the idea? The idea of literally protecting ourselves sounds that devastating, so fearful. It's crazy. Right here, video released showing police kill unarmed 17-year-old boy in his driveway with no charges.
What else is going on here in the metro today? We begin with an update from Overland Park Police on the investigation of a teenager who was shot by an officer outside of his home last month. ACTV5's Caroline Sweeney joins us now with the latest on that story. Caroline?
Well, Carolyn, today we got an up-close look at what happened the day a police officer shot and killed a teen in Overland Park that they say was suicidal. And earlier this morning, the Johnson County District Attorney says what the police officer did that day was justified. The dash cam video is intense and shows us what happens in the moments leading up to when the teen was shot and killed. Now, we are going to freeze the video before you see the gunshots, but you can see the van moving down the driveway toward the police officers. And Steve Howe says he wanted to release the video because there's a lot of misinformation coming out on social media. Howe says the car, the minivan that you can see driving
out. Right now, a look at what else.
A whole lot of misinformation out there. Yep, he was suicidal, so they had to kill him. Think about that. That is the justification these people literally use to kill people. And they get away with it. These are the very people that you want to have access to firearms. These are the people that you trust. Let's see. Live time. While we're recording this, let's get some of these numbers in, because I've been doing these little polls with you guys to kind of get some statistics running, right? So earlier today, I asked the question, you know, which is more lethal, vaccines or guns? Guns got 17%. Vaccines got 83%. And so let's look at these actual numbers, because yes, we have a lot of people that were voting. I want to be honest. We have 286 votes for guns, and currently right now 1,428 for vaccines. Let's move on to another little fact, little poll. I asked the next question, what is a bigger cause for concern, mental health or spiritual starvation? Mental health is winning currently right now with 58%, while spiritual starvation is at 42%. Mental health has 564, while spiritual starvation has 408. And the next question is, who should have guns to protect themselves and others, myself and citizens, or police and authority? Myself and citizens has a total of 836 or 837 votes. That number went up right there. And 153 votes for police and authority. So 85% of people think that we should have guns to protect ourselves. I'm glad you guys are catching on. The fact that we give our power over to these people who will do that, who will just shoot us, we really do have to understand that's not the point. Mental health is a problem here in America. You got to think, we're setting kids up for ridiculous standards that they don't even apply for themselves in a world that's decaying. And they have to say, oh, well, we have to ban the guns. No, that's not what you do. You educate people. You train them. We're teaching people to say, you know what? Oh, I don't want these things. They're dangerous. I better just throw up my hands and wait for somebody else to come save me. They're turning us into sheep. This is why they consider us chattel. When we don't break these things down, we don't see the errors of what they're trying to really pull. You see. You know what's crazy is I think I might have just figured out which post they might have taken down. I was going to talk to you guys about how how Sheriff David Clark says that the Florida shooting has fingerprints of George Soros all over it. And I don't think I can find it. It's not showing up on the page. And that's perfect, because that gives me the exact thing that I want to talk about. Not only want to talk about censorship, but I will talk about how this has George Soros' fingerprints all over it. Let me see. We're talking about how these people have these pop-up protests all over the place. How they just, like I said, came up with some kind of protest overnight. But led by a former FBI agent, son. That's what I think is crazy. Let's see if I could try to get this article up for you guys, because, you know, I really want to talk about this. You know, how we're literally looking at George Soros using these students for AstroTurf-style protests. We'll move on with that. But clearly, that's what I'm talking about. We're talking about how they're literally using this crisis to push an agenda, using this event to try to get across, hey, we need more gun control. We're going to keep killing more of you if you don't keep turning in your guns. People thought that the false flags were going to happen or were going to stop underneath Trump. This reeks of it. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about CNN scripting things again. You know, this is where we have a student saying that they tried to give him a script. You know, how Fox News' Tucker Carlson cut off a news reporter whenever she was talking about these psychotropic drugs, how they're deleting YouTube videos and everything else. We're really going to get into this this whole shooting and more on the other side of this break. But you guys stay tuned. This is Freedom Faction over here on Factions of Freedom. I'll talk to you soon. That's right. That's right. Even if they kick us off, we figure out a way to come back. We can't sit up over here and try to talk about, oh, you know, they're going to kick us off here. Censorship there. You know, censorship there. What are we going to do? We're going to keep fighting. That's what we're going to do. We are literally going to keep fighting. Regardless of what they try to say, we have an obligation to get out the truth in every single kind of way as possible. So like I said, we're going to talk about this the shooting, the Parkland shooting, the Florida shooting. And how, again, it is a sacrificial shooting. This is how they're trying to put us in a disproportionate position to where we are slaves. They want to, as I keep saying, disenfranchise us from our power. But let's take a listen to how CNN refuses to allow Florida shooting hero to ask questions that didn't fit their narrative.
Jack McLeod is a junior at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High and was there when the shots were fired. He says the CNN town hall is another way for the public to see his generation's activism.
I have friends that have already, you know, been at the White House, talked to Donald Trump. I have friends in Tallahassee. So I hope that this is the last time that anybody has to experience this and everybody can feel our pain so that nobody has to experience it firsthand.
I expected to be able to ask my questions and give my opinion on my questions.
But Colton Hobb, a member of the junior ROTC who shielded classmates in the midst of terror, says he did not get to share his experience.
CNN had originally asked me to write a speech and questions, and it ended up being all scripted.
Colton wrote questions about school safety, suggested using veterans as armed school security guards, but claimed CNN wanted him to ask a scripted question instead, so he decided not to go.
I don't think that it's going to get anything accomplished. It's not going to ask the true questions that
really scared.
Like you said right there, literally talking about how CNN is giving him a different script instead of him being allowed to ask his own questions. We've been talking about this all last year, all throughout the election. and more. The concept of fake news, how they're trying to push different agendas, how they set up different things, and how they really don't look at what's going on, how they don't understand, or how they actually do understand at a different level, how they're affecting people. They are pushing a narrative. They're not letting people actually speak. That's what I'm talking about. They're letting this kid, David Hogg, whose father is a former, and I say that in air quotes, FBI agent, with other paid actors, these pop-up protests. You see, I think that's a telltale sign of how these people operate. They're really trying to control the flow of information on this. They don't want people to be aware of the links that they will go to try to manipulate your opinion, to manufacture your ignorance, to manufacture your consent. Right here, posted by his mother on Facebook, March 23rd, 2016. There he is. Look at David Hogg. Just smiling. Right there, wanting to be a CNN news reporter. Aw, so cool. Look at, you see, we've, and again, it's not David Hogg that we're looking at. It's the idea of what he represents. The fact that they have people in the mainstream media who they can just pop up these little straw men. These talking heads. These fake activists. They want to talk about fake news, talk about fake activists. This David Hogg guy, he seems really, really sketchy. Even as a kid. And people, and this is, you know what, this is, let's get it, before we get into David Hogg, let's look again at, you know, how they're trying to manipulate the opinion of people. With the Fox News reporter being cut off when she starts to mention psychotropic drugs linked to the Florida shooter. We'll get into David Hogg and Nicholas Cruz and all this other stuff later, but let's really set again another foundation for this stuff when we're looking at it.
You hope they are, and I don't know what they're doing, but you know, I myself would volunteer to help, as I know the good doctor here would. I think We have to take a hard look at one thing that we're not talking about yet too, Sean, and that's psychotropic drugs. My guess is we'll find out that, like most of these shooters,
that's happened after
this,
many incidents.
Shot, this guy was a prescribed
Dr. Boder, we don't have a lot of time, sir, but we appreciate your insight.
Sean, what we need are not metal detectors. We need mental health detectors. We need people to say something. The tremendous work of the Broward Sheriff's Office, they don't...
I like that. Mental health detectors. Now, when looking at these people, these domestic terrorists, let's call them what they are. These people that have been radicalized and they're self-radicalized domestic terrorist patsies. MK Ultra, yeah, mind control slave. You got to think, with the way that things are today, the way that kids have access to information and in a way that they've never had before, they are able to perceive life in school in a different way entirely. The Columbine shooting, who knows what that was for, could have been somebody that went off of their meds. And all these other shootings, they looked like they were done by people who were literally MKUltra slaves themselves. And we'd later find out that they have some kind of drug or something that they've been on. Psychotropic drugs being linked to the Florida shooter is consistent with all these different false flags, with things like Stephen Paddock, with things like Omar Martin, you know, all these different places where these shootings have taken place. The thing that's different now, and this is why people are having an iffy way of looking at it, is it's attached to a kid. Let's call it for what it is. They'll call a black kid a thug, but they'll call this Stephen Cruz kid, you know, a troubled kid. It's not a kid. Okay, if he's over here purchasing stuff, telling people, hey, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to do this to you, I'm going to shoot up the school, he's not a kid. And we're treating this like it's something that it's not. You know, all the signs were there. The FBI did not follow protocol. It's crazy. And while we're here, you know, before we jump into some more of this David Hogg stuff, let's kind of look at these people. Let's really look at what's going on. Because hours before this, they had an active shooter drill. Multiple eyewitnesses talked about how they had a second shooter in the building. So this David Hogg person, having somebody coach him about what's going on, that's crazy. They are literally deleting YouTube videos over the Parkland shooting. That's what I'm talking about. Last week, my video got deleted itself. We may have to come up with a backup YouTube as well. really look at these types of things. So let's hear this little David Hogg, this anti-gun school shooter survivor who can't remember his lines when he's interviewed for this Florida school shooting.
Day, and that was a drill, so we thought this was a drill too, just another one, because we have a lot of fire alarms, a lot of fire drills at the school. After we heard the first gunshot, we initially thought it was a drill. Actually, that was a bad choice.
It's okay, you're fine.
Actually, that was a bad choice because the janitor... Sorry.
It's okay. You're fine, David. You're fine.
Honestly, when I was going out, I was kind of in... I was in... Hold on.
It's okay.
When I was going out, I was in shock.
Yeah, same. I don't know how to put this in perspective. It's okay.
So most of my friends that made it out, one of them went into a bathroom in the same... I believe in the same hallway as the shooter. Hold on.
It's okay.
One of them went into the same bathroom, I believe, as the hallway shooter. He was in there at the same time, and he was in the bathroom, and he didn't know if he was going to live. Because we had a fire alarm earlier that day, and that was a drill, so we thought this was
yeah.
a drill too, just another
This kid is real fishy. This kid's real fishy. You know, let's listen to somebody who's not all up in the news talking about a second shooter.
All the kids to go outside so they could start shooting up. So they started shooting from the first floor up. Because there's only two exits in the freshman building, so everybody started running to the other exits, but that's when the other shooter started coming up. So everybody, and then I thank God to this teacher who opened up her door and like all of us, and she got shot in the arm trying to open the door. And then the other teacher, he got shot in the head trying to cut the other students. And it was like an hour, like it felt like years waiting for them. And after all that, we finally got out, and like they started yelling at us to keep focused and to pay attention ahead, the army people, because they didn't want us to see the bodies that they hid in the corner. They were putting mats over them so we wouldn't see them, but there was dust all over the floor from the English crew in there. They're trying to.
So you think there was more than? Do you think there was more than one?
There's three shootings. Definitely.
How terrifying. Hold on 1 second now. How terrifying.
It was pretty damn terrifying because all the kids to go outside.
Three shooters.
So they shot.
Three shooters. And then you got this chick over here literally talking about how you got to think. You're 17 people died, and why would you be over here smiling about these types of things? Let's take a listen.
I was in the bathroom at the moment. And I had came back to my classroom, and I knocked on the door, and the fire alarm went off, and principal came on the speaker and just said, everyone needs to evacuate right now, so that's what we did. As I was going down the stairs, I heard a couple shots fired. Everyone was freaking out, saying that it was a gun, and as we were walking, the whole class together, I actually was speaking to the suspect, Nicholas Cruz. And as I was speaking to him, he seemed very, I don't know what the word I want to say is, but he was trouble in middle school. So I kind of joked to him about it and said, I'm surprised you weren't the one who did it. And he just gave me a huh. So that's really,
really
what happened.
You were walking down the hall. He had already fired at that time.
I actually was
There's
the
a video going around too,
moment.
Where apparently David Hogg is interviewing somebody prior to the shooting. They're saying, you know, what are your thoughts on gun control and things of this nature? But what's crazy that I really want to point out before I get into, you know, how they're using Nicholas Cruz as a patsy, with these paid actors, they have to have them actually mixed in with real people, you know, actors in the crowd, basically, people who can help control the outcome of these types of things. So what do I mean by David Hogg being a paid actor, being a crisis actor? You know, there's something saying that he's going around where he's graduated in 2015. So why is he back in high school? So that's just some other strange stuff to look at that. So now we're talking about how Nicholas Cruz is a patsy as well. Police went to his house 39 times in 7 years. When he built his arsenal, he posted his plans online in his real name. A man called and told the FBI that the suspect said online that he was going to shoot up the school. The FBI questioned the man next morning, but did not stop the shooting. Plus, there was an active shooter drill hours before the real event. This smells. And again, looking at how they're trying to use false flags and school shootings to try to disarm citizens. But people don't really understand how this is a part of, again, a bigger ploy. It's not even about the shooters. It's not about Nicholas Cruz. It's not about David Hogg. It's about mental health as well in this country. And it's about how they're trying to claim that we're diseased, claim that we have a problem because we want to have our guns. As you heard me talk about in the episode with Charles Casson, with things like ODD, Opposition Defiant Disorder. They can classify us because we don't agree with authoritarian things, because we don't go with the status quo. They consider us disease. They can do that. The same way they consider alcoholism diseases, or alcoholism a disease, the same way they can classify anything as a disease. ADHD, when really kids can't sit still, whenever they misclassify or misidentify things like autism, that's why they call it the autism spectrum, they can classify anything as a disease, you see. And that's what we really have to look at. So let's actually start going into this stuff. Let's actually start looking at this Nicholas Cruz and David Hogg, because these are some sketchy people. You got your patsy. I think that's an important thing to point out. You have your patsy, and then at the same time, you also have the person that can control the information flow. Earlier this week, when I posted about this type of stuff beforehand, I talked, and I think I summed it up very well without trying to go into much detail about it all. If anything, I'll just read you guys the bottom part of it. It's how important this really is. What this means to have somebody like David Hogg at the helm of everything. And this was on the Parkland shooting. And I'll pull this post up for our YouTube viewers. It was for the Parkland shooting, the false flag for gun control. I said the number of peculiarities and inconsistencies surrounding this event are staggering. I don't know how you could look at it without coming to the conclusion that it's a false flag psyop to push gun control, to push the gun control agenda. Who's financing these kids and enabling them to have a nationwide protest only days after a shooting? They're literally putting news anchors on television, crying and carrying on to pull at the heartstrings of the average American fool. Prior to the whole event, David Hogg was already calling for gun control. They're using children to push the agenda. Now, for my more cynical and less discerning followers, when I say false flag, I don't mean that people weren't injured or lives weren't lost. They have to make the act seem convincing, hence why reports from students have been coming out indicating that there were multiple shooters, and potentially why SWAT didn't want the event being recorded or broadcasted. They have the control. They have to control the flow of information, which is why all the lamestream media outlets sound like cookie-cutter reporters regurgitating the same talking point, and they'll be able to do just that, now that they have a ready-made anti-gun activist organization with a former FBI agent's son at the helm. Think about that. That's why it's important to really look at this David Hogg kid, at these people surrounding them. What is this image that they're trying to prop up? Why are they having things like March for Life? Why are they trying to, again, disarm the public? Yes, this is a tragedy. Yes, lives were lost. This is why I call it the sacrificial shootings, because yes, lives were lost, but they're trying to politicize a tragic event. They are offering up children in the name of politics. Really think about this. Dad's an FBI agent. Mom's taking pictures of him whenever he's at CNN. Yeah, but this isn't something that we should pay attention to, right? He's graduated in 2015. But he's saying, yeah, we need gun reform. Right here, David Hogg graduated high school in 2015, never attended school in Parkland, say fellow classmates. I went to school with him at Redondo Shores High School in California, and he graduated in 2015. The new faces of gun control and the son of a former FBI agent, David Hogg, told CNN's Anderson Cooper that he's not a crisis actor, despite the fact that he graduated high school in the state of California in 2015 and likely never attended Stoneman Douglas High School. In Parkland, Florida, as he claims. That's right, David Hogg, who claims to be a current student at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, where 17 people were reportedly shot and killed, actually attended and graduated Redondo Shores High School in Redondo Beach, California, according to a Yellow student, or a fellow student who attended Redondo Shores and is even pictured in the yearbook. David Hogg didn't attend Parkland High School, and I went to school with him at Redondo Shores. And this is where you see that post. Because what we're talking about is, again, how they're able to set up these straw man people. Here's the picture. Four people. You know, your typical yearbook picture. Right there. And again, 6 months ago, he appeared on CBS being coached through media interviews. Right here, you see his whole family, the same FBI father, saying, "Thank you, ABC News. I have never felt my voice has been bigger." Hey, really think about this. Right there, Operation Gladio C. Government-sponsored domestic terrorism targets American public schools. We'll get into this, because these are the types of things that we need to look at. Because, again, like William Cooper said, we're talking about how these people are literally using these events to advance agendas. It's not about the guns. The guns are there to help us fight off this tyrannical government. The guns are there to literally keep us in a place where we can fight for ourselves, where we don't have to be domesticated and turned into slaves. The guns are there in place for us to protect ourselves against people who would wish us harm. If we give them to other people, then we literally become weaponless slaves. And I'm not down for that. I don't think you should be either. So let's get into this. Like I said, David Hogg being a former FBI activist, all these little pop-up things, you know, Nicholas Cruz being the perfect patsy. You know, people said, is he MKUltra? You know, was he on medication? I'm sure he was on medication. I'm sure something is wrong with him. But does that mean that we should let him get a free pass because he was MKUltra? Does that mean that we should let this type of stuff go? Then you got to ask yourself, too, what were they hiding? What's going on in the background? Yeah, sure, this is a big fiasco, the shooting, but what are they really distracting us from? Is it from the fact that Russia admits that several dozen of its citizens were killed in U.S. strikes in Syria? Or maybe the fact that the Netherlands just banned Monsanto's glyphosate-based herbicides? Or is it the fact that they really want to get across that they want to try to take our guns? People claim that this kid, this Nicholas Cruz, that he was already messed up in the head. They failed protocol. He claims he heard voices in his head. Something's up with this kid. But I'll tell you what's even crazier. And we'll get into this here shortly. What we're basically doing is calling for things like predictive programming. Like I said, police speaking to him 39 times in 7 years. You know, he posted his arsenal online. Somebody called Facebook or the FBI, confirming that Cruz wanted to shoot up the school. The FBI failed on protocol. They were too busy chasing the Russians. You know, Russians here, Russians there. This kid literally said that he heard voices telling him to do this. And nobody acted. But then again, how can you really act on somebody like this? They probably get calls like this all the time. As I said before, as this story emerged, I've become so desensitized to so many different shootings that it's hard to pick out what's going on. Now, the fact that they have somebody like David Hogg steering this out and then manifesting a protest out of it, I feel that that's what we need to point out. The fact that they're spinning this to their advantage. Now, again, looking at the patsy, Nicholas Cruz, saying that he hears voices, that he's going to shoot up the school, he's crazy. A self-radicalized domestic terrorist patsy. Let's be real. This is what happens with Muslims, with the terrorists, with the immigrants, with whatever happens. People come here, or people who are here, they radicalize themselves. They don't get checked. They do buy guns. They do go on the dark web. They do all these different things. And the FBI is watching. The technocracy is watching. The police state is watching. I talk about this all the time. Your citizen threat ranking. That stuff is very real. What we're effectively doing when we break these types of things down is we're basically calling for a new form of policing future crime, pre-crime. This person's expected to make up or to have to cause problems, to be an issue. We should arrest them before they even act. The very same thing happened to somebody whenever they posted it onto Snapchat. Round 2 of Florida. They were holding up an AR, standing right there in their bathroom, some little kid, and I think in South Carolina or North Carolina. And the police arrested him. What we're doing, like I said, is creating a way to introduce predictive policing. That sounds kind of wild, but how much more wild is it than talking about MKUltra's mind slaves and people being radicalized? Again, jumping back to the idea and the reality that we have a lot of people who have mental health issues, but we're not giving them attention. If anything, we're giving them more drugs. We're giving them more dependencies. We're giving them things that don't necessarily advance them. And we wonder why people shoot up the school. We wonder why these kids say they hear voices. It's because they disassociate from reality. They don't get checked. You see, let's get into this article. Florida school shooter heard demon voices. Police visited his house 39 times. I put this up February 16th. It's from the Daily Sheeple of a repost from Zero Hedge. It says more details about Nicholas Cruz, who has been charged with 17 counts of premeditated homicide for Wednesday's school shootings, are beginning to emerge. And so far, they paint a picture of a disturbed child who exhibited signs of violent behavior from a young age. The suspected shooter is believed to be mildly autistic and was receiving treatment at a nearby clinic, but had not been back in a year. Cruz told police that he had heard voices in his head telling him to shoot up the school. He described these voices as demons, his legal team said, probably to get out on an insanity bargain. Meanwhile, it also emerged that police were called to Nicholas Cruz's family Parkland home 39 times since 2010, according to police records obtained by CNN. The sheriff's office received a range of emergency calls that included mentally ill person, child /elderly abuse, domestic disturbance, and missing person, and several others. Cruz was accompanied during his first court appearance by public defender Melissa McNeil, who placed a hand on his shoulder to comfort him. Brody Spino, a schoolmate of Cruz's, said cops were called to Cruz's home almost every other week. Something wasn't right about him, Spino said. Spino said he knew Cruz from elementary school and described him as, quote, an evil kid who was, quote, always getting in trouble. CNN also reported that Cruz had an unsettling penchant for introducing himself as a future school shooter. Hi, I'm Nick, he would say, according to an acquaintance. I'm a school shooter. Cruz posed with guns and knives and photos posted on Instagram and made a disturbing online comment about a mass shooting carried out in New York this summer. Man, I can do so much better, he wrote. Cruz and his brother were adopted at a young age by Roger and Linda Cruz. Roger died years ago. Linda succumbed to pneumonia in the fall. He was then taken in by the parents of a schoolmate. Following his mother's death, he got into a fight with the boyfriend of an ex-girlfriend and was kicked out of school. So, a comment right here saying demon voices, MKUltra specimen. Now I'm going to talk about things such as a psychotronic warfare, them literally being able to project, you know, thoughts onto other people. But at the same time, if this kid's mildly autistic, there's some kind of mental retardation there, or he's taking all these kinds of different pills and things of this nature, obviously there's going to be some kind of dissociative nature to him. The perfect patsy. So now that we've given Nicholas Cruz and David Hogg their time, we need to look at what this actually means. Like I keep saying, the fact that they're pushing for gun control, pushing to have more of an authoritarian control on what's going on. You see, and because so many different things happen all the time, and it's very hard for us to kind of keep track of these things, this is why it's good to keep your notes. We forget that just last week alone, there's a new federal bill that targets patriot groups and citizen militias as domestic terrorists. So while we're calling for gun control, we're also calling for the limiting of our abilities, the throttling of our power. You see. So let's get into this, and so we can start talking about things such as predictive policing. I put this up February 12th. It's from the Free Thought Project. It says an ominous new bill is targeting millions of peaceful Americans who identify with being a patriot by lumping them in with extremely rare violent hate groups. Think about that. We could be considered a violent hate group because we do not go with the status quo. What these people define as normal is what sets the tone for the future that we find ourselves living in. That's why everything is becoming so drastic and wild these days. The Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act of 2018, introduced this month in the House, is making patriot groups and citizen militias uneasy, and for a good reason. It is specifically targeting, as the bill's summary notes, the purpose of this legislation is, quote, to authorize dedicated domestic terrorism offices within the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Justice, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation to analyze and monitor domestic terrorism activity and require the federal government to take steps to prevent domestic terrorism. Now, before I go into this more, taking steps to try and prevent this. The FBI failed, and the police failed, 39 times over 7 years to stop this kid. Now, they put these types of things out there, again, as I said before, to try to introduce predictive policing. How do you know somebody hits a certain point to where they deserve to be investigated? How do you know they get to a point to where, all right, they're a threat to society? How do we gauge that? Let's continue on reading some of this. It says, while on the surface this sounds like a rational idea, when we dig deeper into the bill, we discover what they mean by, quote, preventing domestic terrorism. According to the FBI, the definition of a domestic terrorism is, quote, individuals and or groups inspired by or associated with primarily U.S.-based movements that espouse extremist ideologies of a political, religious, social, racial, or environmental nature. The FBI notes that the specific example of the two crazy individuals in Las Vegas who killed police officers in 2014, for example, the June 8, 2014 Las Vegas shooting, during which two police officers inside a restaurant were killed in an ambush-style attack, which was committed by a married couple who held anti-government views and who intended to use the shooting to start a revolution. The bill associates these deranged murderers with the patriot label. However, what this bill fails to mention is that their supposed patriot movement domestic terrorists were actually banished from real patriot groups because they were on the police payroll and known to be provocateurs. The same way we see David Hogg being a provocateur. The same way we see these different type of people to try to provoke a response. They go out there, they do these things, and so then they introduce the perfect patsy as well as the perfect figurehead, the talking point, who can get these ideas out there. The perfect puppet. Let me see. So let's look at some of this stuff real quick. Let's look at the idea of predictive policing, of citizen threat ranking, because these aren't even ideas. These are realities. These are deeper realities of things that we have yet to understand. The kinds of technologies that these people have at their disposal is insane. So we'll look at some of the citizen threat ranking stuff and get into, obviously, you know, the big pharma nature. Why they're just flushing us with drugs. Just giving us so many different things to disassociate us from reality. It is crazy. Of course, I was trying to find a video for you guys, but I'll just go over some of these headlines, and these are previous posts that we put up. Right there. Scientists claim AI can predict criminal behavior based on a person's facial features, but they weren't able to stop Nicholas Cruz. Could predictive policing lead to a real-life Minority Report? Orwell rolls in his grave as police roll out unprecedented drone air force to track, quote, social media behavior. First arrest made from cameras linked to public facial recognition database. And it goes on and on and on. AI police state, China to predict crimes before they happen. China is developing a pre-crime artificial intelligence to catch suspects before they do the crime. Goes on and on. You know, things like this. China experimenting with social credit systems. The video I was trying to get up for you guys, it actually talks about how they're using things like your social credit score, like your Facebook post, like your Instagram post, like your Twitter, your social media posts, to gauge how much of a threat you really are to them, whether or not they need to put you down, if they need to delete you, if they need to get rid of some of your content, etc., etc. As I said before at the start of the show, I figured out which one they actually deleted, which post they actually deleted. And that, to me, is crazy. But continuing on, because that's really all we can do. These days, that's all we can really do. Yes, it will continue to happen, but at what point does it do for us to sit up over here and talk about it? It's like beating a dead horse. Censorship, yep, we've been dealing with that anyway. So continuing on. Like I said, with Big Pharma and the war on our children, how kids are on psychiatric drugs, psychotropic drugs, playing games that disassociate them from reality, living on drugs as well, you know, to where it's crazy. It is really crazy how many different facets these guys are involved in these types of things. So let's get into this. I put this up February 20th. It says, Big Pharma's war on children, war on our children. 1 million kids under age 6 on psychiatric drugs. This is from SHTF Plan by Max Lavo. It says, in the United States, there are 1 million children under the age of 6 on psychiatric drugs. This number is particularly disturbing, considering the horrifying side effects and ineffectiveness of a good number of these types of harmful drugs. 1 in 6 Americans overall regularly take some type of medication in this category. However, children are now being swept up in Big Pharma's desire to make money, not improve health. There's no money in cures. Mental health watchdog group Citizens Commission on Human Rights is drawing attention to the concerning fact that there are more than a million kids younger than 6 in our nation currently taking these psychotropic drugs. According to Natural News, around half of these children are 4 to 5 years old, and an incredible 274,804 of them are younger than a year old. That's right, babies are even being given psychiatric drugs. The number rises for toddlers aged 2 to 3, with 370,778 kids in this category taking psychiatric drugs overall. If this isn't horrifying to you, congratulations on your brainwashing. Data from the IMS Health shows that these drug situations only get worse as a kid gets older, with 4,130,340 kids aged 6 to 12 taking some type of psychiatric drug. You might be forgiven for assuming that most of these statistics are made up by kids taking ADHD drugs, given how common that approach seems to be nowadays, but it really only accounts for a small portion of it, with 1,422 of those younger than a year old, and just over 181,000 of those aged 4 to 5 taking ADHD drugs. The biggest category for psychotropic drugs given to children appears to be anti-anxiety drugs. Just over 227,132 babies under 1 year old, and nearly 248,000 of those aged 4 to 5 take these medications. Again, babies are being given mind-altering drugs before their first birthday. But the news just gets worse from there. Experts believe these estimates are far too low and the real numbers are actually much higher, due in part to the tendency for some doctors tend to hand out psychiatric medicines for off-label uses. That's right. Let that sink in. Really let that sink in. We are giving children drugs before their first birthday. We are shooting children up before they go to school. We are making it mandatory that you have your your shots right there. Oregon School Exclusion Day bans unvaccinated school unvaccinated kids from schools. This is where we're going. California already does it. SB 277 and SB 279. Except now they're doing it in the schools. So not only are they being given drugs before their first birthday, but when they get in the school, they're being forcibly injected with stuff. And we wonder why the schools are getting shot up. We wonder why things are this crazy. We wonder why we don't have an idea of what's really going on. They're losing their minds because we're chemically intoxicating them. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of this stuff. What is the point of this? This is the elite's plan to dehumanize us, to have us kill ourselves, to where we do just take all these psychotropic drugs. You think about this. You really think about this. We have Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel of PayPal getting involved in mushrooms. We have Bill Gates of Microsoft getting involved in marijuana. We have Monsanto and Bayer getting involved in pharmaceuticals. That doesn't scare you. You're not paying attention. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about all this other crazy stuff on the flip side. Why they make all this craziness seem good while we're moving forward into this chaotic world and what they're planning to do. We'll be talking about this and more over here on Factions of Freedom. You guys stay tuned. I'll talk to you soon. And we are back. Final segment. Wrapping it up. You know, make sure you guys go back and listen to the episode with KB Visions, because we hit a lot over there. We hit a lot of different things. And also go back and listen to the episodes, plural, with Zach. There's a lot of content that we put out to you guys, and you really got to think, with the censorship that's happening, live time, as you hear on the show, as you see on the page, you really got to sign up for our exclusive membership. You really got to help us out. We're trying to give you guys the information before they get rid of us. I'm not going to be here forever, and I try to put these different things in play to try to help us. The information is in the description bar below. If you want to become a Patreon member, we have different packages that help. It really does get us to where we're trying to go. Your guys' support is needed to get us in the right direction and to complete and to continue this kind of operation. This is what I'm really trying to do. But anyway, I digress. Let's get into this. Like I said, I asked this quick question to you guys. I threw out some stats beforehand, and this is kind of how I approach this whole situation. Which is more lethal, guns or vaccines? You know, we talk about guns. Oh, you know, we really got to get rid of the guns. No, we got to get rid of these vaccines. With a 10% effectiveness and almost 4,000 people dying every year, that's roughly 200,000 or 208,000 people that die every year because of flu complications and vaccine complications. There's an entire fund for the vaccine injury that it's crazy. So which is more lethal? Because they can keep making more vaccines. These guns, these things, those are primitive at a certain point. It's crazy. Trying to break all this type of stuff down. So let's see. What's on the flip side of this? They're trying to have us kill each other while they work over here in the background. And you've heard me talk about this time and time again. While we're focused on race, creed, color, and religion, politics, and all this other nonsense, the robots are coming, and they do not discriminate. Robots do not discriminate. All they do is work.
It's flying itself. Its processor can react 100 times faster than a human. Just like any mobile device these days, it has cameras and sensors. It does facial recognition. Inside here is 3 grams of shaped explosive. This is how it works.
He throws it. And it shoots that right in the middle of the skull.
To penetrate the skull and destroy the contents.
And so now it's like a drone swarm in a classroom. And this is why we need to ban lethal autonomous weapons. So yeah, we can sit here and say, you know, was it this shooter? Was it that shooter? Was he MKUltra? Was he hopped up on drugs? Was he controlled? These are all questions, all very good questions to ask. But what we're seeing right now is a slow ratcheting up to where we all just take up arms and shoot ourselves, while slowly in the background, malicious AI is being built. This technology is being built. Boston Dynamics, their new Spot Mini generation robot, is reactive to humans. Experts are saying that singularity will occur within 30 years. Think about the types of world that we're moving into. This is the transhuman world that we find ourselves living in. Look at this. This is that same robot that opened the door for the other robot. The only thing that's happening now is humans are interfering with it executing its code. And for our audio listeners, what you're basically seeing is the Spot Mini, the four-legged Boston Dynamics machine, being pulled away from its objective and then literally clawing and moving. Trying to continue its objective and open the door. And why is that... Why am I bringing that up when we're talking about all this technocracy stuff? It's important to illustrate how fast things are happening. They have backflipping robots, they have all kinds of different robots, and we've talked about that in our Building the Matrix series, as well as the Autonomous Society series. What we're talking about is how humans are becoming obsolete. They will say that we're making irrational, emotional, illogical decisions, and that we need AI to take over, that we are incapable of defending and thinking rationally for ourselves, that we need to trust the AI god, Google or Apple, whoever they decide to put up on the top, to enrich and better our lives. I talked just the other week about how the same Tucker Carlson, and let's see if we can get this clip up for you guys, the very same Tucker Carlson that shuts down this other reporter when talking about psychotropic drugs, he was talking last week about how Google has extremely invasive technology, how insane it is, and how they're trying to spy on your parents. Here, let's take a listen.
First patent filed in September of 2016, Google envisions how it could send you personalized advertising based on what a camera observes in your home. In the illustration that Google submitted to the federal government, the patent office, a camera in your bedroom sees a Godfather novel on your nightstand next to your bed and uses that to steer you to watching the movie. If you think that's creepy, prepare yourself because it gets a lot creepier. In another patent application from September 2016, Google imagines how it could take control of your parenting, your relationship with your children. Google's smart home system could detect children near a liquor cabinet, for example, or in their parents' bedroom, infer that, quote, mischief is occurring, and deliver a verbal warning. In another example, Google imagines a hypothetical child called Benjamin. Google's cameras would be watching Benjamin at all times, carefully. They could see if he's playing outside or using electronics. Presumably, they'd also try to use that information to sell him things at some point, because that's the whole... In the first patent,
the whole point of Google.
In September of 2000...
Your point, too, Tucker Carlson, is to sell his stuff. But my point is, when looking at this type of stuff, is to really look at the technocracy that they're building around us. Like I said, yeah, we're breaking down this... this psyop, this false flag with gun control versus the Parkland shooting. But in the backhand, they're working on things like predictive policing. They're working on things like emotion reading technology on the 5G. Really go back and listen to that episode with KB. We broke down some of that stuff. KB combined with Charles Kasson of Truth is Terrorism, you will really get a good comprehensive view of what the technocracy is. Things like predictive policing, the singularity, and all this other stuff. Why are we talking about Boston Dynamics having reactive robots, things of this nature? The future that they're moving us into is to where humans are obsolete. They want us to shoot each other, to destroy each other, to police one another. They want us to call for our own enslavement. And things like Google give them just that. YouTube, just the same. So with the time that we have, I want to point something out. Again, looking at the future for what these people have planned for us. And more stuff that's kind of getting swept up because we're not paying attention to what's really going on. Outside of the globalists and non-humans meeting at the World Government Summit, we hear how scientists have created human sheep chimera with hopes of affordable organ transplants. We've talked about how they have a pig... human hybrids, cow-human hybrids, now we have human-sheep hybrids. The chimera concept is very real. These shootings, these attacks, this is society's disposition. This is the elite's plan to dehumanize us, to depopulate us, to where we get to a point to where we feel like, you know what, we can't govern ourselves. We are too chaotic. We are ignorant. We can't protect ourselves. Why should I do that? I should have somebody else do that to me. That's the nanny state. That's what I mean by legalizing lunacy. That's why they give us safe spaces and all this other crazy stuff. Let's read this. This is from the Daily Sheeple. Ironic. And they reposted it from RT. I put this up February 19th. It says a team of scientists have grown embryos inside a sheep that contain human stem cells, moving the sci-fi idea of developing human organs inside animals one step closer to reality, which has sparked ethical concerns. The science breakthrough could potentially save the lives of thousands of people who are in dire need of vital organ transplants. While many patients die before they move up to the top of a queue, organs grow inside a sheep, like a pancreas, can not only save a life, but also cure a chronic illness, such as type 1 diabetes, the researchers say. This week, the team from Stanford University was able to grow a sheep embryo injected with an adult human stem cells for 28 days, including 21 days inside of a sheep. It announced at a meeting at the American Association for Advancement of Science in Austin, Texas, The Guardian reports. The experiments had to be terminated, as the law prohibits developing cross-species embryos, called chimeras, for more than 28 days. So they have a ban in place already to where you can't have you can't have chimeras for more than 28 days because they know people are making chimeras. Researchers have already created the first human-pig hybrid. However, the major difference is that this time they've achieved a 10 times higher ratio of human cells to animal cells in an embryo, which is one human cell to about 10,000 sheep cells, according to Dr. Pablo Ross from the University of California. To create a part-human, part-animal embryo, the researchers used a gene-edited technique. First, they deleted genes needed to developing a certain organ in an animal embryo. Then, they injected human stem cells, which can become any cell in the body and are supposed to fill the void. In 2010, the Japanese scientists were the first to use this method to create a mouse and a rat chimera, where the rat cells were introduced into a mouse to form a missing pancreas. Last year, the same team that is now working on a sheep embryo announced that it had, for the most part, cured diabetes in mouse after transplanting a mouse pancreas it had grown in a rat. We're talking about human-animal hybrids. Animal-human hybrids. So these are the things that we could be really trying to understand at a deeper level, at a deeper spiritual level, if we weren't having to deal with the psychotropic and the psychiatric nature of things like Big Pharma, of how they're trying to literally chemically intoxicate children. When you have the Netherlands banning Monsanto's glyphosate, they say, look, we are probably tired of having different types of chemicals on our food. We do not want you guys to literally poison us. The same way with Fukushima, they paid out one of the victims. Whenever these people are literally trying to pollute the planet, they can only do so much destruction and devastation until we decide to fight back. But whenever they're creating these kinds of things, human sheep chimeras, and we've talked about this on the show as well, the epidemic. Mess up. The elite's plan these days, with the phase that we are in, is to literally give us all of the tools to destroy ourselves. Sure, modify yourself. Sure, destroy yourself. Sure, take all these drugs. Have a great time. Sure, live in a state of constant euphoria. Sure, don't understand balance or harmony. There is nothing in this world that actually fosters that kind of nature, that behavior. That's why you hear me say sometimes, some spiritual beliefs are not compatible with our society, with the way that we do things, with how we're operating. You see, it's not so much weird to look at. What we're trying to really understand is how these people are forcibly changing us. I have another video for you guys where we're looking at Boston Dynamics Pet Man, and I wanted to read you guys this article where we talk about how the U.S. military will have more robots than humans by 2025. That's the plan, is to replace us, as I keep saying, to make us obsolete in the scale of things. I put this up February 16th. It's from Mint Press News. It's by Whitney Webb. It says, while cyborg soldiers and fully automated weapons have long been fodder for futuristic sci-fi thrillers, they are now a reality, and if the Pentagon gets its way, we will soon become the norm in the U.S. military. As Defense One reported last Thursday, the Army had just concluded a live-fire exercise using a remote-controlled ground combat vehicle complete with fully automated machine gun. The demonstration marked the first time that the Army has used a ground combat providing fire in tandem with human troops in a military exercise, and as Defense One noted, quote, it won't be the last. Indeed, last week's exercise represents just the latest step in the Pentagon's relatively quiet tiptoe into converting the U.S. armed forces into a machine majority force. Faced with low recruitment and an increased demand for soldiers, the Department of Defense is seeking to solve the problem altogether while also increasing the military's firepower and force in combat. Though unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs, better known as drones, are the most well-known of these devices, the Pentagon has been investing heavily for decades in a cadre of military robots aimed at dominating air, sea, and land. In 2010, the Pentagon had already invested $4 billion in research programs into autonomous systems, and since then, its research wing, Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, better known as DARPA, has been spending much of its roughly $3 billion annual budget funding robotic research intended for U.S. military applications. According to the former U.K. intelligence officer John Bassett, DARPA's investments in robotics and automated weapons will not only quickly become the norm in the U.S. military, they will soon replace humans, who are set to become a minority in the U.S. military in a matter of years. Think about that. These robots will replace us. These robots will police your schools. These robots will police your children. Google already wants to socially engineer you to where you believe that the machine's opinion is way better than your own thoughts. Now they want to replace us with these machines, with these drones, with these Terminators. Let's be real, they're Terminators. This is why this is a problem. MKUltra mind slaves. That's the start. That's how it gets there. But when we're looking at things like this, the reality of being replaced with robots, it's no longer science fiction. It's no longer a joke. This is our reality. So yeah, we can keep killing each other off. We need each other. Humans are not designed to be alone. We are designed to work together as a family, as a unit. And the media, social media, and all these other things that are out there, they literally create the conditions to where we don't trust one another, to where we don't foster our human nature. We're becoming more and more machine in our approaches toward things. We're lacking empathy, we're lacking discernment, we're lacking the actual eyes to see what's going on. I mean, with AI doing all the different types of things that it can do, my God, they can come up with different faces for the president. They can mimic the president's face with technology, 3D and CGI and everything else that's going on. They can do all these things and more, but we're upset about this shooting where they already have a ready-made protest ready to go across the country. What happens whenever some of these protests start getting policed by robots? What happens whenever they start having drones shoot innocent civilians or protesters with nerve gas or with smoke grenades or water cannons? You see, that's whenever we will literally be going up against a system where they will deploy these machines against us. They won't reason with us. They won't try to talk with us. They won't try to understand us. The elite's plan is to slowly box us into a state of subservience, to where we willingly abdicate our power. People want to talk about solutions. We need to talk about the problem. The solutions will come. And that's why we have these kinds of shows. You can't get out there and join these people. That's what I'm saying. It takes time to actually build up a worthwhile movement. The same way with some of these natural disasters and unnatural disasters. People just take the charity money and run. It takes time to actually build up a movement. They're blaming Congress. I'm trying to say, you need to take away the guns to protect our kids. No. You need to tell your kid how to protect themselves. You're expecting the state to tell you how to run your kids, how to better your lives. I said this in the last episode. I felt like the fact that we're literally trusting the state on how to run our kids, the same way I talked about with education, that's when we started seeing all these problems. When you let the state inside your house tell you how to run your life, how to educate your kid, when you let the enemy teach your child, you become the threat. That's where we're at. That's why homeschooling is so important. That's why it's important to read what your children are reading, to learn what your kids are learning, to pay attention to what they're being told and taught and what's going on in school. That's why it's so important. Because at a certain level, hey, I've talked about this in the past as well, how they use different people to, or different little school organizations to actually report on the parents. They have a lot of different ways, the state, of trying to get inside of your life and your house. And the point I'm trying to make is when you let somebody else raise your kids, they get those other people's morals. That's the state. These shootings only started to happen when we cared more about what the state said than actually being a parent. These days, kids can sue their parents. If I would have threatened to sue my parents or threatened to call the cops on my parents, I would have got my ass beat. Excuse my French. But that's the truth. Okay? These people don't know respect these days. It's all about the feelings and what sounds good and what feels good. Let's take care of this person. At a certain level, and you know this might be my upbringing coming out of me, you gotta man up. You gotta do what it does. You gotta stop finding a reason to not get it done. Stop finding a reason to be cowardly, to be weak, to be less than. That is, again, the state telling you that. The state finding different ways to say, you know what, it's okay, little Jimmy. We know you're messed up in the head. We're just going to give you some more drugs to finish off the job. Yeah, the vaccines, yeah, they didn't do their job whenever, you know, they were younger. So we're going to give you some more pills. We're going to get you addicted to drugs. We're going to get you addicted to pills. We're going to get you addicted to this lifestyle that is entirely detrimental. And they say, oh, well, he was an evil kid. You know, there was something wrong with him. Yes, there was something wrong with him. He was fed drugs from the time he was born. That child was an orphan, Nicholas Cruz. And I think it's crazy if you think about it in an even messed up more way. They chose this child that was mildly autistic, doing the things that he did, and then they get this David Hodge kid up there, FBI family, all about all kinds of different sketchy stuff surrounding him, night and day. They use this child who's got issues, and then they got this other person up here who looks like a total tool to carry on the message. It's crazy. It really is crazy. But my point is this, with the last closing thoughts, when you let somebody else raise your kid, you're letting all those other problems come in, and that's exactly what happened. The shooters, the multiple shooters that's going on over there with the Florida shooting, that's something else, the same way we're figuring out now with the Las Vegas shooting, that those were multiple terrorists, that there was a different, there were multiple teams. There's a ground team as well as a team up in there. Those actually might have been terrorists. A deal gone bad. Who knows what was going on with the Florida Park shooting, but the fact is, look at how they springboarded this negative event into a nationwide protest akin to all these other things that we've seen. It's too quiet. Way too quiet. And these are the types of things that we really have to look at. That's what I mean by stay vigilant. Be aware of things like these sacrificial shootings, society's disposition, and the elite's plan. However, that's all I really have for you guys. I know I went over a lot, but it's really to try to illustrate the fact that these people will go at any lengths necessary to try to disarm the public. We talk all the time about how they're trying to domesticate the public and disenfranchise us from our power. We have to stay vigilant and look at these people when they try to pull these charades, these false flags, these sacrificial shootings, as I have called them. But with the time that we have left, I would like to point you guys in the direction of our website. Make sure you're signing up for our newsletter so you can get updates. Clearly, they're deleting content. We have an obligation and a right to still expose it and still post it. Also, think about becoming a Patreon exclusive member. That membership actually does more than you guys think, and it actually gets us to where we're going, and it actually helps solidify this operation that we have going on here. And finally, check out the website, factionsoffreedom.jimdo.com. Check out our podcast, check out the news, check out all the content that we have to offer to you guys, because as you can tell, we must be doing something right if they're trying to stop it. But that's all I really have for you. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll have it in the description bar below. And as always, guys, stay vigilant, expose lies, and share truth. This is Noisera, Freedom Faction, out.